Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today is an auspicious day. We are doing Kuf Nun Zayin in Masechet Shabbos. It's the 219th Daf in Shas, but we are making Bezras Hashem our second Siyum in Shas. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach to be able to continue our march through Bekiyus in Shas. We pick up with the Mishnah on 10 lines from the bottom, Kuf Nun Vav. On the base that talks about preparing food for an animal on Shabbos. Mechatchines hadlulin lefnei behema. One is not allowed to cut up gourds in front of an animal on Shabbos. This does not mean chas v'chalila to cut off from the ground. That would be an isser of kotzer. That's why Rashi tells us in his first word on the Mishnah that we're talking about a gourd that was already cut off from the ground. And our Mishnah is teaching us that this gourd, even though it was designated for a person, not for an animal, it is not considered a muktza to be used for an animal, even though it was originally designated for a person, as per the shita of Rabbi Shimon when it comes to muktza, as our Gemara will bear out. Vesa nevela lefnei aklavim, and you're also allowed to give a carcass to an animal on Shabbos. Even though the animal, when it was alive, was destined to be eaten by a human being if it was going to be slaughtered properly and then died on Shabbos, nevertheless, you could give it to a dog because it wasn't entirely muktza from a person as well, even though it wasn't prepared for a behema. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo hoisin avei l'meir of Shabbos, asur l'fishayim min hamuchan. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the above arguments that we had said. It has to be muchan. Lebehema, it wasn't muchan lebehema on Erev Shabbos, hence it cannot be given to a behema. Itmar Amar Ula halach ka Rabbi Yehuda. Ula's taught that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, needs to be prepared for the person. Va'af Rav savar halach ka Rabbi Yehuda. Rav also held that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. And we know that Rav held this halach from Midikrachi Dezuzi. When it came to mats that were destined and made to be used on ships, the Zuzi Rashi explains refers to ships. The Rav also Rabbi prohibited it, Ushmuel Sharia, and Shmuel had permitted it. The Gemara says it's not only Rav that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Va'af Levi Savar Lach Rabbi Yehuda. Levi also follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ki Hada Levi Ki Avi Maisi Trifta Likame Biyametova. When what was brought in front of Levi was an animal that had become a safek trefa on Yom Tov and needed to be asked, the shayla needed to be asked to him, lo havichazila. He would not look at the shayla. Ella ki yaseva kakilta, unless he was sitting close to the garbage. The omer dilma lo miskashra, because then maybe the animal would not be kosher, and it was only designated beforehand to be slaughtered, and therefore the item is muktza, vafil klavim lochazia, and it cannot be even eaten by the dogs. You cannot no longer now use it for the dogs because it wasn't designated before Yom Tov for the dogs, and it has to be immediately disposed to the garbage. Ushmuel amar halach k'Rabbi Shimon, but Shmuel had passed like Rabbi Shimon. Vav ze'iri savar halach k'Rabbi Shimon, as well as ze'iri had followed Rabbi Shimon. This not as we learn in a Mishnah in Beitza. Behema shemesa, if an animal died, lo yazinu mimikoma, it should not be moved. V'tirgama ze'iri, and ze'iri explained, we're not talking about a regular animal. V'behemas kachim, we're talking about an animal that had already been designated for kachim. Aval b'chulin shapir dami, but for chulin, it could be moved, because even though it wasn't designated to be used for an animal before Shabbos, however, according to Rabbi Shimon, as long as it was usable for a person, then it could be then used for an animal as well, consistent with the position of Rabbi Shimon. Raf Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lach Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yochanan also said that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon. Asks the Gemara, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Achi? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lach Kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan in general follows Stam Mishnah. Utanan, and we learned in Mishnah, Ein Mevakin, again Beitza, Eitzim Min Hakoros, Velo Min Hakoroshinish Berbi Yomtif, that one is not allowed to split wood from beams on Yom Tov. Why? because it wasn't meant, the beams weren't meant on Erev Shabbos to be used for firewood. And therefore, you cannot change its purpose on Erev Yom Tov. So the Stam Mishnah seems to say, like Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Shimon. Answers the Gemara, Ahu k'Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda masnila. We had a tradition that this Mishnah was going specifically according to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, and here it wasn't a Stam Mishnah, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan did not follow that Mishnah. Tashma, the Gemara attempts another proof in regards to Rabbi Yochanan's position by Muktzah, because we know whatever a Stam Mishnah is going to say, this will be Rabbi Yochanan's position. So we attempt to bring another raya that a Stam Mishnah is Choshesh for the Muktzah of Rabbi Yehuda. Maschilin ba'rei mas hateven, the Mishnah in Beitza says that you're allowed to take out from a pile of straw and hay, because that could be used on Yom Tov and was designated already before any Yom Tov. Avaloa etzim shevim muktzah, but not wood that had been put in a storage house and wasn't thought to be used on Yom Tov. So what do we see? We see it wasn't designated before and it can't be used. Answers the Gemara, Hasam ba'arzei v'ashuchi, we're talking about the wood from a cedar tree, which are very, very, very expensive. The muktzah machmas chisarin kis. That's muktzah machmas chisarin kis. Afilu Rabbi Shimon Maida, even Rabbi Shimon is Maida to that type of muktzah. Of muktzah machmas chisarin kis. If it's so expensive that people would not touch it, so then in such case, even Rabbi Shimon holds you not allowed to be metaltel. What about another Stam Mishnah? Tashma. Coming here, Beitza Daf Mem. Ein mashkin v'shochten es hamidbarios. You're not allowed to give to drink, domesticated, or to slaughter domesticated animals. Avo mashkin. Excuse me, animals from the desert. But you're allowed to give to drink and to slaughter domesticated animals. What does it seem? It seems that the animals from the desert, animals, wild animals, you never had a havamina to take it on Yom Tov. And for that reason, it's muktzah. But animals are domesticated, was within the domain of the individual and within the possibility of using them on Yom Tov. So we see those things that are from the outside are muktzah. So that seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to Rabbi Shimon. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan stam achrina ishkach. Rabbi Yochanan had a different stam mishnah that didn't seem to be chosh for Rabbi Yehuda, even though this mishnah in Beitza seems to go on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan had a contradictory mishnah, and that is earlier we learned beishamei omer magbiyim me'al ha'shulchan atzamos uklipin ubeisnol omer mesalik es hatava kula umena'ara. And we had the opinion of Beis Hillel that says that one is allowed. Ein mashkin v'shochten es hamidbarios. You're not allowed to give to drink or slaughter animals that are wild that are in the desert because they're muktzah. Avol mashkin v'shochten es habaisis. But you're allowed to give to drink and slaughter animals that are domesticated. What does the Mishnah in Beitza seem to indicate? That there is a rule of muktzah that if the animal wasn't designated before Shabbos, it cannot be used. That seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a Stam Mishnah that seems that Rabbi Yochanan should follow, that would teach us that there is a concept of muktzah that's difficult based on what we had said before, that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon. So Gemara explains, Stam Achrina Ashkach. There is another Stam Mishnah that was against this. Beishamei omrim magbiyim me'al ha'shulchan atzamos ha'klipin. Beishamei says that you're allowed to remove from a table bones and peels, directly remove them from a table. Beis Hillel omrim mesalik es hatav l'kulu min ha'ara. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says that you're only allowed to move the table itself, you're not allowed to move the muktzah directly. Now, at first glance, the machlokas here would have Beis Hillel holding up muktzah and Beishamei not. However, Rav Nachman told us that the girsa must be inverted. Va'amar Rav Nachman, anu ein lanu ela beishamei k'Rabbi Yehuda, ubeis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. Beis Hillel is actually of the opinion of Magbin me'al shulchan atzamos haklipin. We had this sugya earlier in Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. While Beishamei was of the opinion of Mesalik es hatavla kula. So Rabbi Yochanan had contradictory mishnayos, stamei mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan would follow the position of the Stam Mishnah following Beis Hillel that says that you're allowed to move the muktzah. Now the Gemara concludes the sugya of muktzah, which is probably the biggest sugya in all of Masechta Shabbos by quoting different positions amongst the later Amoraim on the issues of Muktzah. Pligi bar Ravach Ravina. Chad Amar b'chol Shabbos kula alach Rabbi Shimon levar mi Muktzah machmas mius. We follow Rabbi Shimon that we're not choshesh for Muktzah except if the Muktzah is Ma'us. Umayinu, what's an example of that? Ner Yoshan, an old candle. Lechad Amar But Muktzah Machmas means Nami Halachah Reb Shimon, Levarmi Muktzah Machmas Iser. Except for maybe Muktzah Machmas Iser, which we've discussed in the past, is, for example, moving a candle because we're afraid that the candle is going to go out. Umay Niyu, as our Gemara says, Ner Shiduk Ba Ba'osa Shabbos. Avol Muktzah Machmas Chisar and Kis Afil Rabbi Shimon Moda. Clearly, Rabbi Shimon agrees that if it's so removed from the person because it's so valuable, you wouldn't move it around, then, in such a case, even Rabbi Shimon agrees with that. Muk said, "Desnan kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbos, chutz mimesar agadol v'yesed v'yosed shel machareisha." By the way, there are other things where we don't necessarily follow Rabbi Shimon, and the sugya of Muktzah is not to be understood that Rabbi Shimon rejects the whole concept of Muktzah. Again, we have the raya that he holds of in the context of Muktzah, Machmas, Chisar, and Kis. The nuances, la halacha, is very complex, and one needs to learn the poskim in Muktzah really to come to the bottom line of when do we follow Rabbi Shimon, when don't we follow Rabbi Shimon, when is it that Rabbi Shimon holds a Muktzah, and when is it that Rabbi Shimon does not hold of Muktzah. I have a theory, which I'm not sure is correct, but it seems to me that in many, many places, the Gemara and the Rif, both the Gemara and the Rif, wait for the end of the Masechta to the Maseches to discuss the biggest topic that relates to that Masechta. For example, in Ksubis, one of the last sugyas in Maseches Ksubis is the sugya of Ksuba d'Oraisa or Ksuba d'Rabban. Of course, Ksubis is a Shas Katan, but the issue of whether the Chi of Ksubas Daraisa Darabanan, which encompasses almost all the sugyas in Ksuba, is the Gemara discusses only at the end of Maseches Ksubas, and the Rif only discusses it there. Eide Mesira Karsi or Eide Chasima Karsi is probably the biggest issue in Maseches Gittin. The Gemara and the Rif only discuss it, Lahalacha, begin to flesh it out at the end of the Maseches. Muktzah is one of the biggest sugyas in all Masechta Shabbos, and as well, the conclusion of Muktzah was right now, until we get to Maseches Beitza, on the last daf of the Maseches. We now do the last mission in the Maseches. Mefirin Nedarim b'Shabbos, v'nish'olim l'nedarim shehein l'tzarech Shabbos. There are two types of halachic mechanics that can undo, at times, a neder. Number one is if a woman makes a neder, the Torah Kedoshah tells us in Parshas Matos that a husband can revoke, undo, void the neder of his wife. And then there are times that a Rav can be mashil on a neder, can ask a question on a neder. For example, if a person takes a neder, the Rav will ask, the Chacham will ask, whether the individual understood the import of such a neder. If he didn't, then it could be that the neder can be undone. So, mafir nedarim b'shabbos nishon darim shehein l'tzor Shabbos. If it's necessary for Shabbos, then it could be done. For example, let's say someone took a neder that sleep was prohibited to him. So in such a case, that could be possibly done on Shabbos. U'poikikin es ha-ma'or, u'moididin es ha-matlis, u'moididin es ha-mikvah. One is allowed to stop up a window. Now, we had this sugya earlier on Kuf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara describes that as pokekin achalon, a chalon and a mikvah, as Rashi points out, are the same thing because the chalon has light that comes through it. So there was a discussion in the Mishnah. We follow the opinion of Chum say that you're allowed to, and it's not considered as if you're building on Shabbos. And you're allowed to measure out a piece of cloth to see if it has a size of 3x3 etzpos that we learned in the second parak, that only if it's 3x3 can it contract tumah. And you're allowed to measure a mikvah to see if it has a depth of 3 amas and the height and width of an amma, which is necessary for the volume of 40 sa for a mikvah. And this happened in the father for the, with the father Rabbi Tzadok during the days of Avishol ben Bitnis, that they closed up a window with a clay shard to protect from Tumah to come in. Vikashu es hamikida begemi. And they tied up what is described in English as rush. That's what gimme is, which is a form of animal fodder. Leida, to know, im yesh begigis poseach tefach. What they did was they put that on animal fodder, which was just a good measuring substance for volume, which was exactly the size of a tefach, and tried to see that if it fit into the clay, the Makeda, if it had the opening of a tefach, im lav, or if not. Now, why they did that, we will see in the Gemara. Umidivrayim lamanu, from the words we learn, shepokikin umodadin v'kosher m'shabbos, that you're allowed to close up with the cheres that we saw, you're allowed to measure, we measured if the cheres was the size of a tefach, as well as you're allowed to tie a kesher she'ena shel kayama on Shabbos, even lechatchila. It's interesting, after all of the halachas and all the details that we have in Masechet Shabbos, the Mishnayos conclude by inferring halachos based on what we saw by our Rabbeim. Yesterday in the halacha from the Daily Daf, we pointed out that Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, wow, that's so funny, who just walked in? Who walked in? Shlomo Zalman just walked in? Shlomo Zalman just walked in as we finished the last mission. We were quoting Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and we said that Reb Shlomo Zalman said that if the custom was in Klal Yisrael for years to do something one way, then there must be a legitimate reason behind it. The Gemara analyzes the opening lines in our Mishnah. Yiboylehu, hafara bein letzarech ubein shelo letzarech. Hafara could be done by the husband whether there's a need and whether there's not. And when the Rabbanan question the motivation of the neder, they'll only do that when there is a need, but if there isn't a need, not. And that's the reason our Mishnah puts them in two different categories. In other words, the Amoraim were bothered. Why did our Mishnah say Mefirin Vinishalin? Presumably, whatever applies to one applies to the other. The answer must be that on some level they're different. And what's one possible difference between the two? That maybe hafara could be done in all instances and shela is only done when there's a tzarech. Oh, Dilma, hafara nami l'tzarech in shelo tzarech lo. Maybe even hafara, the husband could only revoke a wife's neder if there's a tzarech. V'hadika palig luhu mehadadi. And this, that our mission differentiated between the two, is for a totally different reason. Mishum da hafara ain't tzarech bezdin. That both of them are the same, that they could only be done l'tzorech. However, hafara doesn't require bezdin, and she'ela does require bezdin. Tashma, come in here, I'll bring you a proof. This tani zuta devei Rav Papa, mafira nidarim b'shabbos l'tzorech Shabbos, that Rav Papa deduced that our Mishnah says that you're allowed to do it l'tzorech Shabbos. Mashma l'tzorech Shabbos in, shelo l'tzorech lo. That only if there's a tzorech could hafara be done. Lishna achmina, there was another tradition of how the above question was posited. Iboilu letzarech atarvayu ktani, v'shelo letzarech lo. That when the Mishnah said letzarech, it applies both to hafara and to she'ela. And shelo letzarech can't be done. Alma hafaras nadarim me'es la'es. And we can infer from this that hafaras nadarim by the husband could only be done within a 24-hour period. It could be done within a 24-hour period, and therefore, Rashi explains, there's no need for him to do it specifically on Shabbos if it's shelo letzorech, and therefore we only allow letzorech Shabbos. Odilma kiktani letzorech ha-she'elu diktani. Aval hafaras nedarim afilu shelo letzarech. Hafaras nedarim could be done even shelo letzarech. And that's the reason that you're doing the hafara on Shabbos, even if it's shelo letzarech, you're allowed to. Alma hafaras nedarim kol hayom. And according to this position, then that assumes that hafaras nedarim cannot be done mei eis la eis. It could only be done on that day, the day that the husband hears it. Biyom shamo, the Torah says, the time that he hear, the day that he hears it. And our Mishnah is telling us that since he could only be made for on that day, he's allowed to do it on Shabbos as well. Tashma detani Rav Zuta devei Rav Papi mefirim nedarim b'Shabbos l'tzorech Shabbos l'tzorech Shabbos in shelo l'tzorech Shabbos lo. Alma afaras nedarim me'eis la'eis. That we see that afaras nedarim could be done me'eis la'eis because we don't allow the person to do it on Shabbos itself. And we say wait for Matzai Shabbos if it's shelo l'tzorech. It's a davar pashut to the Gemara, it seems, that if it was prohibited after the day, that hafaras nedarim was not meis la'eis, but just kol hayom, then for sure the husband would be able to do it on Shabbos l'tzorech v'shelo l'tzorech. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Ashi, the Gemara asks from Rav Ashi, v'anan t'nam, but didn't we learn hafaras nedarim kol hayom, that hafaras nedarim could be done the entire day only until night, v'yesh b'davar u'lahakel u'lahachmir, and there's a kula in this and a chumra in this. Ketzad, I'll give you the kula, nadra leli Shabbos mefer leli Shabbos v'yom ha-Shabbos ad shetech shach, that if the neder was taken on the night of Shabbos, so then in such a case, it goes all the way till sunset of the next day, nadra im chashecha, mefer ad shetech shach. However, if the neder was done a little bit before the sunset of Shabbos, the Mefer ad shelo letzarech shach, the only time Hafara could be done is prior to the Seisach L'chamim of Shabbos, and then afterwards, nothing could be done. Shim lo hefsher, and if Hafara was not done before then, Mishach HaShecha, Eino yachol lahefer, and then in such a case, he can't do Hafara. So what do we see? We see it's entirely dependent b'yom, and it's not dependent Me eis la eis, as we had learned earlier, that it goes after a full 24-hour period. So Gemara answers Tanoi. In truth, it's machlokas Tanoim. How far the zman of hafara goes? The sanya we learned in the brayse quote in Nedarim on Ayin Vav and Beis. Nedarim kol hayom. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, amru me eis la eis. Is hafara? Hafara is Nedarim, the length of the day, no matter how long the day is. And no matter what time the day is done, you have that period of only that day, b'yom shamo. Does that mean mamish until Seisach L'chavim of the next day? Or is it a 24-hour period? Our Mishnah also said, v'nishalim l'nedarim, that she'ela could be done by a Rav and Bezdin on Nedarim. Ibailu kishelo hayelo panoi. Odilma afilu hayelo panoi. What if the fellow had time in Erev Shabbos? Could then the Rabbanim Bishol B'Nedarim? Maybe only the first side of the Gemara is when the fellow didn't have time. But if he had time, in such a case, the Rabbanim can't be Mefer, or in either, it can't be Shoel, or even if there was time for him to ask, he could ask on Shabbos as well, even though he had time in Erev Shabbos, and the Rabbanim could be Shoel. Tashma, Daz Da'ad Zdikiku Le Rabban Rav Zutra Breid Rav Zira Bishar Le Nidre V'Afogad Da'avale Panoi. The Rabbanan were Shoel on the Neder of Zutra, Breder of Zira. It took a while for them to be Zokuk, to be able to find time to deal with it. Even though there was time before Shabbos to do it, they were able to be Shoel on Shabbos. Our Meseches concludes with the Maisa that the Mishnah had mentioned with the father of Rebbe Tzadok, that he had closed up a window and that he had tied up the cheres with some rush, which is a type of animal fodder, and tested whether it went into the entrance of the kli, the utensil. The Gemara now discusses exactly what transpired over there with the father of Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Hilkiti Ktano Haisa. There was a small alleyway, Bein Shnei Batim, between two houses. We're getting the background of exactly what transpired in the Mishnah that our Mishnah didn't discuss at all. There was an alleyway between two houses, V'tum Haisa Sham, and there was a dead body there. V'giger Seduka Haisa Muneches Al Gabon. And there was a clay utensil that was sitting above them, hovering over between the two houses and hovering over the dead body. Now the kli, the utensil over here, the clay utensil, had a hole, a crack inside of it. Now, if the crack on this clay utensil was the width of a tefach, so then in such a case, the tumah would go through the crack, and there would be no ohel phenomenon created by the utensil above it. And then we would not consider the two houses attached together for the tumah to run between them. However, if it's less than a tefach, then in such an instance, if there's any open windows of the houses that are next to them, then the tumah would run through. Upakiku es hama'or bitafiach. And they closed up the window by the house with a clay utensil. So then, in such a case, then the tumah would be stopped if, before the person had passed away, that window had been closed. If you have a kli cheres is not mitame bigabo, Rashi explains. If its back of the kli cheres was blocking the window, so then the kli cheres does not contract tumah. And that prevented the tumah to go into the house. Upakiku es hamor bitafiach. But they also wanted, aside from paku es hamor bitafiach, vikashu es hamikeda. They also wanted to tie and measure the kli cheres above, which was over the mace. In a moment, we will discuss the explanation of the farshim of why they wanted to do that, to measure if it was the tie size of a tefach, begemi, leidem yeshon begigas poseach tefach imlav, to know whether there was a tefach there or not. In the Pirush, that's Miyuchas to the Ran, they explain that eventually they wanted to take down the stopper of the window in the house. This ugly-looking utensil blocking the window of the house. They did it beforehand because they didn't want the tumah to come into the house. If, however, after they measure it through the rush, they're able to see by putting something precisely the size of a tefach holding rush through the utensil that's hovering above, if it's larger than a tefach, then there's no need to stop the window, and then they'll be able to take off this utensil that was blocking the window. Our Maseches concludes with the conclusion of the Mishnah, Midivreim l'manu shepoikikin u'moididin v'koishun b'Shabbos, and we see from the above instance that you're allowed to close a window on Shabbos, you're allowed to measure, because they measured the size of the crack, whether it was the size of a tefach, and you're allowed to make a temporary knot l'chatchila. Ula uklevei Reish Galusa. Ula went to visit the house of Reish Galusa. Chazi l'Rabba Rav Huna. He saw Rabba Rav Huna. Di Yosef. Ba'avona demaya, he was sitting in a barrel of water, and he was measuring it. Amarle, Emer, Damer, Avona, Mida, the mitzvah. When you're allowed to measure, maybe only where it's for a mitzvah, like to know for Ilchas Toma. The lav mitzvah mi amar, but if it's not for a mitzvah, and there didn't seem to be any mitzvah that he was measuring the size of the barrel, is it permissible? I wasn't intending to measure it. I was just involved with something else. And if the fact is that I will know its measurement, that is not a problem on Shabbos because I am involved in the famous expression of Chazal of Misasik. Baruch Hashem, Hadron Aloch Mishahichshik Uslikala Masechet Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, we've been zoche to learn Masechet Shabbos together. May we continue to finish many Masechtos together, and Be'ezer Hashem to finish all of Shas together. And I, from the depths of my heart, I thank all of those that have learned together with me over the internet. Baruch Hashem, I've gotten feedback that has encouraged me to continue learning with you, and I don't regret any second of it. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us greater Havanas HaTorah and greater Dibuk Chaverim, and Be'ezer Hashem, may we celebrate further Masechtos and Shas together in person, B'Binyan Beis Mikdashenu. We now go on to the Halacha section from Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. Bezras Hashem Yizbarech, our Halacha topic from the last Daf in Maseches Shabbos Kuf Nun Zayin is the Halachas of using a thermometer and measuring on Shabbos. Our Mishnah Kuf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph and the Gemara elaborated on it described that during the time of the father of Rabbi Tzadok, they had done a measurement of mitzvah for Shabbos. This is codified in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Shin Vav Siv Zayin. Mutter limdod b'Shabbos medida shel mitzvah. It's permissible to do a measurement on Shabbos for mitzvah. Kigon limdod im yesh b'mikvah mem sa. That one is allowed to measure on Shabbos if a mikvah has mem sa. The Mechaber then goes on to say that the halacha would also be that to measure for someone who is a chola would also be acceptable. In a seminal tshuva, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Orach Chaim Chelek Aleph Simin Kuf Chaf Ches, points out that there are two reasons in the Rishonim earlier on in our Masecht on Daf Kuf Chaf Vav for the Isser of Medida, that the prohibition to measure. In general, it's clear that there's an Isser Midrabanan to measure. What exactly is the nature of this Isser? So, of course, we're not talking about measuring and cutting. There, if a person measures and cuts, that's an Isser D'Oraisa Mechatech. But what about Stam? Measuring ingredients, measuring sizes. In such a case, there's an Isser D'Rabanan. Says Taisus, the reason is because of Uvda Dechol. It appears like the malacha that one does during the week. It's reminiscent of that. Rashi says that it appears as if you're doing it for Mechira. In other words, it's not just Stam, it's a weekly habit, but it's some type of part of the Isser Midrabanan of being involved in commerce on Shabbos. Rav Moshe points out that the Magen Avraham Paskins like the opinion of Tosvos, that the Isser is specifically something of Uvda Dechol. Says Ramesha, for that reason, he thinks it's a Dover Pashut, that measuring temperature would not qualify as something that is an Uvda Dechol. There's nothing about measuring whether someone's sick that has a Chol connotation to it, and therefore, he says, mi'ikur d'dina, he thinks it should be mutter. However, there is a maila to be machmir, because at the end of the day, it's being modeid. However, someone who's mekel ain limchos bo. Ramesha then goes on and says, but if the fellow is sick, it's not just, well, he's not feeling so well, but he falls in the category of a chola sheyesh bo sakana. In such a case, says Ramesha, the halacha is that it is going to be permissible. Rav Neman Sal told me in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, and just like at the Daf Yomi today, when I quoted in the Daf, Rav Shlomo Zalman, my dear son who's named after him, walked in, so too as well. He's here now as I quote Rav Shlomo Zalman's Psak. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Neman Sal reported, and I was thrilled to see that the Sefer Pnini Halacha by the Masifta Gemaras points out that this is in the Sefer of Ma'orei Eish from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Neman Sal crunched it. He summarized Rav Shlomo Zalman's position in a sharp word. He said that measuring temperature on Shabbos using a thermometer is not uvda d'chol, it's uvda d'chole. And what that means is the following, and this is how it's spelled out in the name of the Ma'ore Ha'esh as well, and that is that when do we have the fear of uvda d'chol? If you're using a measuring utensil, like a measuring cup for baking, or a ruler that is also used for malacha during the week as well. So that's something that has a connotation of uvda d'chol. However, a thermometer is never used for any particular malacha per se. That's what Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal meant when he says that it qualifies as uvda d'chol and not uvda d'chol. Finally, Rav Ozner is quoted as having a fascinating discussion along these lines. If a woman needs to monitor her temperature based on the need and the difficulty if she's staining for her to get a clean hefsik tahara. And maybe that could also be called a tzarech mitzvah, like we learned in Simin Shin Vav, Sif Zayin, that we learned that the halacha is that letzorech mitzvah, the measurement is going to be permissible. Measuring is going to be permissible letzorech mitzvah, and maybe in terms of monitoring for the mitzvah of tahara b'mikvah, even if it's not measuring the mikvah as well, would be acceptable. Either way, it is clear that for a chole, it will be mutter across the board. For someone that's not feeling so well, Reb Shlomo Zalman was also makel across the board. Reb Moshe said there might be room to be machmir, but hamekel, you should not be moche. Reb Shlomo Zalman felt that it was mutter lekulei alma. Finally, there's one last interesting question. Finally, there is one more fascinating question, which is a lot more complicated, and that is, okay, you're allowed to use a thermometer to measure on Shabbos, even, according to many, if the individual doesn't fall into the full category of a cholesh embo sakana, that's nafal lemishkav, that is in bed. What about causing the thermometer to fall back, with the mercury, to run the mercury back to its low levels, so that it could be used again? Bepashtus, the halacha, Rav Neman Zal told me, would be the following. If there seems to be a need to use it again on Shabbos, then of course it would not qualify as hachana d'chol. Then one on Shabbos, for the use of measuring again on Shabbos, would be permissible. Especially someone who is working in an infirmary, or someone who is an emergency worker, a Hatzalah member, and so on, who's still using a mercury thermometer, in such a case, if it is common to need to use it again, then it might be appropriate right off the bat to lower it. If one does not lower it, then the next temperature that is taken could be an error, and that could compromise an individual's health, and in such a case, it would be permissible. So Rav Neman Zal was thinking, in the context of the broader picture of health over here, that it could very well be that it would be permissible to lower it as well. What if it's in the house where it's not likely that there'll be another chola and there won't be really a need to lower it? So Rav Neman Zal thought he gave an important leniency, which is mestaber. And that is that if in your house, after you use the thermometer, you're always careful to lower it back to the original temperature, and if on Monday someone gets sick and the temperature is measured and there will be a confusion due to the fact that it wasn't lowered on Shabbos, Rav Neman Zal thought that in such a case that does not qualify as hachana d'chol. It's a tzorech for refuah, and there might be room to be mekel as well even on Shabbos for the refuah on Monday or Tuesday. Certainly, if it would come l'day sakana, for sure, everybody would agree that it's mutter. However, Rav Nevinsal seemed to hold that even if it would just create a confusion of choli down the line, it might be permissible to prepare and to lower it on Shabbos, even though normally it would constitute as hachana d'chol. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the halacha topics from Meseches Shabbos. May we be zoche to learn halacha together as well in Meseches Erevin, and then Be'ezer Hashem in Zvachim Menachas as well. Even halacha l'maisa. May we celebrate the siyum of the next Mesechta, the Beis Mikdashenu.